41. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking what happens when a citizen here in the District of Columbia has a complaint against a police officer. What do they do and how is that handled? My guests are Rochelle Howard, Deputy Director of the Office of Police Complaints here in the district, and Stephen Douglas. He is an activist and spokesperson for the family of Terrence Sterling. Terrence Sterling was shot to death during a confrontation with police on September 11th of this year. That case still moving its way through the judicial system. Stephen, before the break, I was talking about the video that Ms. Howard did bring up. The video that was released by the mayor herself, and she even said that she had made the decision to release it, was video of the attempt at resuscitating Terrence Sterling after he was shot on the morning of September 11th. But it has been documented that there are other videos, and it's also been documented that there was no video prior to the shooting. Your thoughts about that and transparency in this particular case?
Transparency in this particular case is shot cold. There has not been any. I believe that the movement of the mayor to give us the release of the tape was just to pacify us, to say that it was going to be enough for now. This video was edited. There was still more footage that the family had seen that was not released to the public due to certain circumstances. We understand that in certain ways. But to release a video and to be as confident as they were as to reassuring the community as if this was the full video was a trifling thing to do. It was a lie, and it wasn't full transparency because you said that you were releasing the video and the names of the officer. The video, as we've seen, we didn't see any resuscitation. What we seen was chest compressions, which didn't really look like they were chest compressions. They looked like stomach compressions, and you never even seen anyone applying pressure to the wound. So if you're doing chest compressions, all you're doing is allowing this young man to bleed out. So we're looking at a video which further makes this even worse than it already was.
You said that the family saw a video that was not released. Can you share with us what they did see that the public has not?
There was probably about a minute more to the video that was cut short for the public. I was not there in the room when the family actually seen the video, but mm-hmm. as stated from the family and the lawyers, there was more that they seen that was cut off. We had eyewitness accounts, videos that they wanted to discredit, but as you can hear in their video, it's the same young lady with her video. You can hear in the background saying the exact same thing when her video showed the exact same thing, but they wanted to discredit it by certain circumstances. And so when you hear this young lady panicking and screaming in the background, why would you shoot this young man? And I know you all didn't kill him. That makes it pretty accurate. And so, to have a EMS that was only steps away going to the wrong location, to have police shop stewards show up before EMS does. There are several tons of things in this particular case that are just very, very shady for this city.
Well, one would hope that, during the grand jury investigation that we do find more transparency as this process moves on. Certainly, grand jury investigations, they can take little or a lot of time. And so I'm also curious to see, how this moves forward. I want to move back to the issue of the police complaint issue. Let me go to Rodney. Rodney, you're calling from Fort Washington. Rodney, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay. I was just concerned when reference to the police. Are they aware that they work for the public and that we have the right to request all information when we approach by them under any circumstances, even though we need to comply to if we get pulled over by them and they ask to see our license and they want to see our registration? But are the police also being informed that they work for the public, and if we request to get their badge number, their name and information, that they are required by law to give that information to us for our protection as well.
That's an interesting question. In the district, Rochelle, how is that handled? And how, because if an officer decides not to give you his name or his badge number when he has stopped you for what he or she may consider a legitimate reason, how do you report someone if you don't know who they are?
So the six allegations that we have jurisdiction over actually include that subject. We have jurisdiction to investigate a harassment allegation from a community member. We also have jurisdiction to investigate use of unnecessary or excessive force, use of language or conduct that we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
discrimination, retaliation, and also one of the other allegations which is relevant to Rodney here is the failure to wear or display the required identification. So if a community member, and I just want to clarify, it does not have to be a citizen or a D.C. resident. Anyone who has involvement with the Metropolitan Police Department who would like to file a complaint can do that because of that involvement that they've mm-hmm. had with the Metropolitan Police Department or D.C. Housing Authority Police Department. So if I believe Rodney
mm-hmm.
Is concerned that the officer did not follow the procedures and thinks that the officer failed to wear or display his required identification, that's something you can file a complaint with our office, and we look into the specifics of that situation.
But how do you do that if you don't? Because if I encounter you, for example, you know, I can say, well, it's the lady with the wavy hair and the gray suit, but that's today.
We have resources through our investigation techniques where we can figure out when the stop happened, figure out what the incident happened, and go through the access to resources that we have to see which officer was there at that time. So our investigators are awesome. We have great staff. They're very experienced. And they can, with the information provided, see what they can figure out to make sure we identify the right officer. Identifying the right officer is something we value in the investigation to make sure we're dealing with the facts as accurately can. So I can assure you that's part of our excellent customer service standards, that we will figure that out with whatever information is provided.
Rodney, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Waverly, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
A friend of mine got arrested, and the officer said that her brake lights was out.
Mm-hmm.
And, once she got to the precinct, found out that her license was suspended, DMV never notified her. Well, she told the officer that she could not be in a closed environment, you know. And, he repeatedly, made sure that she was in a paddy wagon. And, after she was released, I went back and took pictures of her car to show that her brake lights were working. So I took this to the sergeant that was on, and which I didn't get any cooperation from the sergeant. You know, I couldn't understand his name on the ticket. And the sergeant said, well, his badge number is on there.
Waverly, before I let you finish, because I'm sure that there are some complexities to this story that we may not have time to fully delve into. My question is, when did this happen?
About 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks
my
ago.
My main concern.
Okay, go ahead.
Do all of them supposed to have body cameras when they make an arrest?
So MPD is going through the rollout of the body-worn cameras, as we know it and as I understand. By the end of the year, all police officers, including special detectives and special forces, will have 100% deployment of the body-worn cameras. That's as I understand it. I don't have the specifics of MPD and how, if there's any changes to what they announced in the public about the rollout of body-worn cameras.
Well, it was supposed to be several months ago that all districts were equipped with body cams. And so I've met with Maul, which is the president of the FOP. I've heard several different spills about body cams and this and that. But I believe that the citizens have bigger concerns when it comes to safety and issues. And as I've heard, 180 days is pretty long for somebody to continue to do things to you. And all you have to do is wait 180 days to see which way it can go. And for us as citizens, it can turn to the left, it can turn to the right, and it can turn upside down. So these people who've called, and I hear the concern of, we have these things set up, but like Mr. Fisher said, is there any teeth to it. And when there is teeth to it, it's a long extension of how long you have to wait for a bite.
So what should she do? This happened 2 weeks ago. And suffice it to say, Waverly, this did not necessarily happen to you. This happened to someone that you know.
Right.
Is she out?
Yeah, she's out. She has to go to court and all of that.
While this court issue is pending, can she file a complaint?
Absolutely.
Right.
She can file a complaint 2 seconds after the incident happened, come into the office, fill out her complaint form. An investigator will help her do that, help her gain the information that we need and work with her to look into her concerns about her interaction with the Metropolitan Police Department. And again,
okay,
she doesn't
send any evidence, proof of evidence with the complaint?
If she has any document, well, the person that was involved in the incident would need to come in. But if she has any documentation, she could bring it in. After she talks to the investigator and they understand the factual parts of the complaint and her concerns, they will let her know what other information they will need for her and work with her to get that information so that we have that in the investigation.
Okay.
And if I could clarify, I didn't get to finish my comments about the time frame. When I mentioned the 180 days, that's what we hold ourselves to. Complaints usually are finished way sooner than that. Decisions are made. When we make a recommendation and find misconduct, we pass it on to the chief of police, and they're required to impose discipline and report to us what the discipline happens. So there is processes to our investigation, and there is teeth to when we do find misconduct. And I don't want to say that every case waits till 180 days. That's the limit that we hold ourselves to. Sometimes they are processed way before 6 months or 180 days.
I see. Waverly, thank you so much. By the way, you said, hold on, you said that you can file a complaint online.
Yes.
So what's the website, or how do they find that information?
You go to our website, which is policecomplaints.dc.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a link on there that says file a complaint. Fill in the information. It kind of tells you everything that we need. You put your information in there. You can upload documents to the complaint form online. And then you submit it. And if you submit it now, we will have it first thing. It'll be there now. But the investigators will get it first thing in the morning.
Policecomplaints.dc.gov?
Yes.
Okay. Waverly, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Southwest D.C. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Greetings, everyone.
Hi.
I just would like to ask a quick question. To your knowledge, ma'am, has any officer ever been terminated as a direct result of complaints? And are there any provisions in place to prevent retaliation?
So retaliation is one of the allegations that we have jurisdictions look into. So there are. It's our office. Like I mentioned before, that if we do find misconduct, for example, one of the allegations of retaliation, we pass that information over to the chief of police if there is a finding of misconduct, and they are mandated to review it and tell us what discipline they impose against the officer. I do want to clarify a few parts about the process. We also have two other programs in our investigations. Every case that comes in is considered for mediation. We have a huge mediation program. That mediation program, if the investigators decide that each case or the case that is referred to mediation is a valid case for mediation, we have independent mediators that we bring in as a neutral third party to sit down with the officer and the complainant so they can have a conversation and discuss, mostly so the complainant can tell the officer how he felt or she felt about the incident and have a conversation. Sometimes the officer will offer why he did that or state that, you know, talking to the complainant helps him understand how community members feel when they have interactions. So some cases do go to mediation. Other cases do go to a complaint examiner who may hold a hearing to determine misconduct. And so when those things happen, those are different ways that we determine and process the cases.
I need to take a break, Kim. Thank you so much for your phone call. When we come back, more about this issue, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a complaint against the police in the district, to whom do you complain? How is that worked out? More after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are looking into citizen complaints against police officers here in the district. How is that issue handled? I want to go back to the conversation that we were having right before the break. You were talking about mediation and the like and retaliation. If I am a police officer and I have an unpleasant interaction with a citizen, do I, in that citizen complaints, do I find that out? How do I?
Yes.
Okay. How soon do I find that out?
Once we identify the officers, we let them know that a complaint has been filed against them and that we're going to be investigating that complaint.
Am I then removed from my patrol district?
We don't have any control of that because we're an independent agency. Metropolitan Police Department determines those practices and procedures for their own officers.
Has such a thing happened?
I'm not aware of that.
And this is why I ask, because if, as we've heard so many discussions about community policing, and you may very well know the officers that are in your community, if you have an unpleasant interaction with an officer and then you go telling about it, I honestly am not sure how comfortable I would feel if I still see that officer that I had an unpleasant confrontation with walking around my community. How do I know that when I call the police because somebody's burglarizing my house, that the guy that I have a problem with is going to respond knowing that I've got an issue with him?
Right.
I can't speak for how Metropolitan Police Department responds to calls, but talking about the community policing model that you mentioned, the goal of the mediation, one of our parts of our mission is to better the relationships between the community members and the Metropolitan Police Department and the DC Housing Authority Police Department. So in trying to serve our mission, one of the ways that we do that is the mediation program. When the officers and complainants have a conversation about how the incident made them feel, the facts of the incident, more often than not, they come out understanding each other better and realize that when they now see each other again in the same communities, that they have had the opportunity to talk to each other outside of the incident and to have a better rapport, because they're going to have those continued relationships. And so we've seen in mediation, in FY16, it had a 61% satisfaction rate, that the complainants and the officers, when they have the opportunity to discuss how they felt and what happened in that incident, when they see each other again in the community, it betters that rapport and does not continue the animosity. That's the goal of the mediation program and our mission of bettering the community, the relationships between the community members and the officers.
I'm not sure that works. I mean, if 3 months ago, December 11th, Terrence Stern would have been killed by a Metropolitan police officer. And listening to a dozen different strategies about training, evaluations, counseling, it sounds to me very backdoorish for people who hold a upper echelons of responsibility. And so I think it's unfair to the community when you have officers who get to come in and express why they did what they did. And it doesn't make a citizen feel better when they had their head bashed up against a car, or they've been thrown from one officer to another, or they've been tased, beat with a baton, whatever the case may be. And to have to get back out here and to make a report, if it was that easy, I think Terrence Sterling would still be alive. And it really doesn't sound like it has too many teeth when you have two officers who disobeyed direct orders when they were told to stand down from even coming in contact with this young man. And so as I sit here, it's a little frustrating. I'm quite sure the community is as well, and I could probably speak for it, say that it really sounds like rhetoric going around in circles, because and especially when we talk about community policing, when you have police officers that's not from the community, you cannot community police a community you're not from and you don't want to be in. It's hard to come deal with people from Southeast and you live in Wardoff. You don't know the same struggles, so you don't know the temptation of their attitudes and their frustration. And so when you get better people who can come in and who really want to be in the community, I think that we'll be able to address things in different forms. But when you have a young man who was killed by a drive-by shooting, he doesn't get to make a complaint. He doesn't get to, you know, go down there. So I guess my question is, what really makes this stand? What makes a officer intimidated about getting a complaint? Oh, you know, you got a complaint. Oh, cool. I've got them before because I've sat down with officers, and even these officers, they had complaints, but they still killed a man. And officers that have killed men have had numerous complaints. And guess what? They still out here on the streets with deadly force around their waist.
About the complaint part that that Stephen was just speaking about, and I'm sure that while you don't have jurisdiction over, you know, the final outcome, what have you seen? You said that there have been terminations, but outside of the terminations, in the most extreme cases, when you're talking about overarching changes or solutions to citizens dealing with police and police dealing with citizens, how do you believe that this office is making things better?
Our office is investigating the complaints at a high standard of customer service. And I just want to clarify, we do not have jurisdiction to investigate anything that has excessive force or criminal misconduct. We refer those cases to U.S. Attorney's Office for them to look into. So those types of cases that you talked about, Stephen, we wouldn't have jurisdiction over anyway.
Which is understandable, but I'm not really sure that the people would know what complaints are complaints and what things should be referred to.
Well, tell us.
U.S. Attorney's Office.
We encourage everyone to come to our office and we can talk to them. We also can refer them to the right resource. We've done that in the past. So if someone has a complaint and they're not sure if our office should handle it, if it's against the Metropolitan Police Department or if it's with the D.C. Housing Authority Police Department, come into our office, call us. Our number is 202-727-3838, and we will help you get to the right resource. You know, if you give us enough information, we would know where you could go or could help you find the right direction. But to answer your question, Harold, we have seen 20-day suspensions. We've seen 10-day suspensions. We've seen letters of admonition, letters of reprimand against police officers in response to our findings of misconduct. The Metropolitan Police Department, the D.C. Housing Authority Police Department report the discipline back to us as part of the requirements in the process. So I do think there is teeth to the work that we do. We've made recommendations that are implemented now, but the body-worn cameras, we made a recommendation for several years ago, and now MPD has body-worn cameras.
That they have an option of turning on at their own leisure.
Actually, that's not true. And I think that, and let me say, that's not just with D.C. police, that's with Baltimore City police and any other jurisdiction that is even Laurel, for example, which this summer went through the testing program for police. They are supposed to turn them on whenever they are in the midst of in the beginning of a traffic.
Order.
Yeah, they're supposed to.
Yeah.
The issue is, do they and what happens? And obviously that is outside of the scope of complaints. And I think that certainly is a bigger issue, but to my point, and I want to give you an opportunity to finish, because the cameras, for example, making that recommendation, that was a huge budgetary item. It took a long time to do. You know, you raise your hand and say, yeah, we did this. But, you know, that's something that doesn't happen overnight, and that's
exactly
understandable. But for the things that can happen in 180 days or less, in your opinion, how do you see this truly making, you know, an impact, you know, on the street? Because that's really what this is about. Those complaints are about community safety, public safety, citizen police interaction. Because again, if you've got somebody who's got a stack of stuff like this, eventually something else has to happen.
Sure. Our investigators are highly qualified, well-organized staff, and they take these complaints very seriously. This is what they do day in and day out through our independent authority. And so through the investigations, also with our mediation program, as I mentioned, from FY16, there's a 61 satisfaction rate with the mediation program. So complainants and officers that went to mediation have told us, because we do surveys before and after the mediation, that they thought the mediation program was helpful, was satisfactory, and resolved 13% of the cases were resolved through mediation. And so those conversations that they're allowed to have with a neutral third party outside of the Metropolitan Police Department, outside of a government official, help them to build the rapport in those relationships for the same officers that they see on the street and for the officers, the same community members that they see on the street. And so our work helps hold MPD accountable, helps hold DC Housing Authority Police Department accountable. And then we also have the opportunity for them to work out any differences in a neutral environment. So we are serving the community members. And again, it does not have to be a resident, does not have to be a citizen. It's anyone who has involvement with the two entities. We're helping them to have a place to come and independently file a complaint so that we can look into that on their behalf.
Stephen, I've got 30 seconds. Thinking about the Terrence Sterling case, what do you want to see as we move forward, briefly?
As we move forward, I want the identification. We as the people want the identification of the second officer. We want the U.S. Attorney's Office to recuse themselves and send it over to the Department of Justice. Our U.S. Attorney's Office work very, very close with our police officers. And so it's a conflict of interest to be able to look yourself in the mirror and see the things that are wrong sometime and really be able to acknowledge them. And so we want full accountability from our city leaders, and we want more accountability from our mayor. And so we look for even more transparency. We look in for justice in this case for Terrence Sterling, and we're looking for it to happen any day now.
Rochelle Howard, Stephen Douglas, thank you both for coming in. I really appreciate you both coming in to talk about this really important issue.
Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Wednesday, December 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, on Twitter at H Fisher WHUR, or at Daily Drum WHUR. As always, we will be posting the information for the police complaints online, as well as the phone number, so that you can get the information that you need to file a complaint if you feel you need to do so. That is the Daily Drum. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR.